The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so the NCAA tournament starting Thursday with there are play-in games in Dayton, Ohio. And tonight, Arizona State is taking on St. John's, led by Chris Mullins. But the NCAA tournament, as you know and love it, will start on Thursday afternoon. And, right, like we've talked about, there'll be people going to extended lunches, trying to find a way to sneak some scores while they're at work, right? It's a fun time. It's a universal time if you love sports and college basketball. Whether you're playing in bracket tournaments or you're not, it's one of those kind of cool sporting events that we have. Is it the best way to crown a champion? No. Is it the more fun? Well, we'll discuss that coming up. But I think overall, what the one thing about this tournament that I'm hoping doesn't permeate this tournament, I'm afraid it's going to, as we get more and more into it, is this going to be a Duke tournament? Meaning all the focus is going to be on Zion Williamson and Duke. I remember the days when it used to be that way. And probably the more I look at it, rightfully so, with the Hurley Leitner years and how good that those basketball teams were for a good five year period, right? But the reality of it is I don't want this to become a Duke oriented or a Duke centered tournament. But that's just what we do. We like to gravitate towards personalities or individuals rather than larger concepts. I think we really like to narrow our focus down. This tournament is where Duke is favored with Zion Williamson. They are tough to beat, but that we've seen teams that have been tough to beat before go down in this tournament. But when you look at Michigan State, when you look at Villanova, Virginia should say, Villanova is struggling a bit. When you look at teams that are in the top parts of the bracket, these are very capable teams of winning the tournament, whether Zion Williamson is around or not. Look, always, whenever you have this versus the field, always take the field. I mean, it's just an easier bet when you have more opportunities and more things around. But the media focus on Zion Williamson, and justifiably so, he's such an exciting player, such an important player. I don't want it to bleed into the overall excitement of this NCAA tournament. I don't want it to be Duke-centric. And I'm afraid it's going to be Duke-centric. But coming up, is this the more fun playoff we have in all of sports? That's coming up next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio, as we roll along on a Wednesday morning. So the NCAA tournament is fun, right? We all agree, we break out brackets, we have a good time with it. But is it the funnest or more intense playoff format that we have. So I decided to think about this for a second, because it's easy to say when you've got this wild 64 team extravaganza and you've got games going on all the time and upsets are occurring and we're narrowing this thing down and it's over 3 weeks and my God, I can't even keep up. There's so many games, they're all on different TVs. Okay, but it's not the best way to crown a champion. We kind of know that, right? Sometimes the best team does win. Sometimes the top team wins, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you struggle in the season. You catch fire late, like UConn has done, and win the national championship. It doesn't mean you're less of a national champion. It doesn't mean you don't have the right to the title, or there's an asterisk. No, none of that. You get to a postseason, win and get in, and then do your thing when you get in. We don't do that to anybody else. Right, St. Louis Cardinals, I think, went into the playoffs with the worst baseball record and won the World Series. We don't do that to anybody else. We're not going to do that to anybody in college basketball, despite the quirkiness of the tournament. But when I think about playoffs, right, when I think about October in baseball, does the NCAA tournament have the same feeling that I get when I watch postseason baseball? Does it have the same feeling when I watch NFL playoffs? Right, same kind of format, if you will, sort of a one and done situation, not as many teams, obviously, and not as intense in terms of all of the action that's going on. But do I get more out of those other postseasons in terms of entertainment value than I do the NCAA tournament? Well, I go back and forth with this because one of the reasons that I like the tournament so much is its broadness, right? Is the largeness of it. Over the first couple of days, right? This thing goes from 64 teams to 16 by the end of its first weekend, right? We're talking only about 16 teams left after its first weekend. That's pretty remarkable, you know, decrease about all the teams that get sent home. In Major League Baseball, that field is very small. In the NFL, that field is very small. Now, I can leave out the NBA and the NHL because, to be honest with you, when you talk about seven-game series drawn out, a lot of rounds, I'm going to eliminate you. Baseball, even though they have series, right, there's a play-in, one-game play-in, then there's five, and then there's 7-7. There is an intensity to baseball that I don't think is matched in most sports in how different the game is perceived from a game in July than a game in the postseason. Where the NFL is not like that, for example. If I watch a very important NFL game in November, that same game can be transferred into a playoff. You can just pick up the game, all of its content, all of its action, and move it to the postseason, and you would not notice a difference. But baseball, you would. You take a playoff game, transport it in July, and your first reaction would be, there's no way they can keep this up for 162 games. Right, there's no way this could make it for 162 games. I've always said one of the reasons I love the term manager in baseball rather than coach is because you manage a season. You are managing a six-month marathon.
And I'm going to – the other difference between, let's say, a seven-game series in baseball versus a seven-game series in the NBA is that each game is different because you have different pitchers coming in.
Right, completely.
Where in the NBA, it's the same five unless someone gets injured. You know, or the coach, or the coach decides to make a change. It's usually the same five playing against the same five. I mean, the exact same teams playing against each other, predictably almost at the same time. You know, you're making your substitutions right around the same time. In baseball, it's completely different because you have pitchers coming in, and then you might have to alter your lineup a little bit because maybe this hitter doesn't do well against left-handers, and you have to. It is. I mean, they are managers; they're not coaches. So right. I think that, I mean, like what you're saying. There is a different intensity level with baseball and having a multi-game series.
It's something I've always said. One of the reasons I used to love October baseball is because you almost forget the nuances of what makes baseball great until you get to the postseason, right? And then when you get to the postseason, you realize that there's a level of chess that is being played that you don't normally see or notice during a regular season game. But yep. When you watch it in the playoffs, And this is why, listen, Tim McCarver has had his critics, but the one thing he always was able to do was he was always able to give you the insight of what really makes this game great, right? Why does a pitcher throw two fastballs, a curve, and then a slider to this particular batter, right? There's a method to the madness. He's not just randomly selecting pitches or trying something out. There is a reason that they do this. Why is the first baseman two steps to the right on this batter and then two steps to the left on this batter? There's a reason for that. There's nuances to the game in the postseason that are really intense, that really, you know, when you're on every pitch, it is one of the most stressful things in sports. I have found myself pacing during football games. I have found myself on the floor in baseball games where I just can't. I'm just like, I can't watch the next pitch because I get so nervous. And there's nothing worse than when your team is pitching and you're like, it's a tie game late. And you see that ball and you hear that crack and you know immediately that thing is in the gap. Yep. Or it's going to be a hit or it's going to be a home run. There's that feeling of, oh no. Oh,
well, that's
no.
Why, I mean, we love the NCAA tournament. I mean, and believe me, it's the best tournament in sports in America. But the problem that you have is that a lot of times you're not crowning the best team in that sport. You're crowning the hottest team in that sport.
That's correct.
I mean, Virginia was one of the best teams last season. And they just had one game that they all probably wish they could take back very quickly.
Yeah.
And you're immediately knocked out of the tournament. I mean, UMBC they're a decent team, but they had no business playing in the second round.
And that is different than the other playoffs, because if you are the New England Patriots and you go 16-0 or 15-1 or 14-2 and you're head and shoulders above everybody, for example, but you get upset in your first playoff game against the Chargers, let's say, for example. That's not a surprise.
No,
right? The Chargers earned their right to the playoffs. The Chargers are one of the better teams in the National Football League. They didn't lose in a postseason to a 3-13 Jacksonville team.
Right.
Right. They lost to a team that's legitimately good enough to be there. And whereas college basketball, you can make the argument that most of the teams are legitimately good to be there. But there are teams who have gotten hot late and won their conference tournament and are like, wow, look at what the prize we get. We get to play in this thing and possibly upset a top team.
Yeah. And the problem is, too, if you take a team like Belmont, who won yesterday, right? And everyone's making a big deal. If they were in the ACC, would they even make the tournament?
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. That was the NC State argument, right? We were victimized by our own strength of schedule, whereas Belmont was an at-large. Belmont didn't win the OVC. So Belmont was an at-large bid. But NC State's point is, look, we play in the ACC and we get punished for playing Duke and North Carolina and you know, Florida State and Virginia Tech, and Belmont's in the OVC. And no offense to the OVC, but they are only participant in this thing as their conference champion. That's a legit argument to make. And same thing in baseball. If you lose a five-game series in the playoffs, you lost to a team that is as deservingly right to be there as you did, who earned it through the regular season approach. The NCAA tournament is the most funnest tournament, but it doesn't, again, because it doesn't crown the best champion, I don't know if it's the best tournament from collectively. It's just the most fun. It really is the most fun.
Yes, it
Listen,
is.
I've said many times, there are a couple of moments in sports in my life of the teams that I root for that I have unforgettable memories that still bring a smile to my face. And South Carolina's journey to the Final Four is one of them. A major, major one of them. It's near the top. When I went to Madison Square Garden and watched them on a Friday night beat Baylor and then on a Sunday beat Florida to go to the Final Four, I thought I was going to cry. I was so emotionally overrun. A lot of it was because they beat Florida, and I just knew this was going to be so sweet in my house. But nevertheless, it was because I never thought I would see that. Whereas the Steelers, I expect them to make the playoffs all the time, and I expect them to make a Super Bowl run. I'm not some long-lost Steeler fan that is like, I've never won a Super Bowl. My team's won Super Bowls. I never thought I'd see South Carolina in a Final Four. They rarely make the NCAA tournament, for crying out loud. And they made the Final Four. But they made it to the Final Four because of the tournament. They were not good enough to beat Duke in a three-game series, but one night they did. They were not good enough to beat Florida in a three-game series, but one day they did. Right? And that's the coolness of this tournament, is that you're right. You get hot And you can not only do some damage, but you can make a real big statement, and you can mean something. You can have value that the others don't get. We don't get that. Like a Cleveland Brown fan has to get to the playoffs first before they win the Super Bowl, right? It's not everybody plays the regular season, and then we throw all of these teams in to the funness of the NFL playoffs, right? We were just talking about this earlier. If you don't win your division in the NFL, you're vying for two spots. But if one team is really good vying for a title, for a division title, you're vying for one. Like, it's very select to get into the NFL postseason. It's very select to get into the Major League Baseball postseason. But the NCAA tournament is very, if you're in a major conference and you have a good year, you're likely to get in this thing, right? I mean, if your conference goes four deep, five deep, six deep, you're likely to get in this thing, right? That's the difference, is that the other playoffs are very selective. You know, maybe not so much the NBA or the NHL, because each conference gets eight, but baseball is, NFL is, college football is the most exclusive of them all in terms of four. What's soccer like? What's the Champions League like?
Well, there's different ways. With Champions League, it's a season long tournament that takes usually it's like the top three, top four clubs in each of the countries, their top flight leagues, and then they put them in a tournament. So you have the pool play, and then you have the knockout round. And even in the knockout round, you always get two games because you get home and away. So each team gets the chance to play at home until you get to the final. Then the final's usually at a neutral site, and it's just one game. So with the Champions League, that's different. With their own respective, the English Premier League or La Liga in Spain, they don't have an end-of-the-season tournament. It's just who has the best record at the end of the season is crowned champion.
Wow, so that's really, really unique.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like if you take the English Premier League, every team plays 38 games. Every team, because you play each of the teams, you play one game at home, one game away. And you go the entire season all the way through. You arguably, this happened a few years ago when Arsenal, this was like in the mid-2000s, Arsenal went undefeated the entire season. Had the league wrapped up, I think, with three or four games left to play.
Wow.
So they
were already the champions and the season hadn't been over yet.
And the season hadn't, because it was just, based on points. You get 3 points for a win, 1 point for a tie. Based on points, no one was going to be able to catch them, and I think there was like three games left, almost a month of soccer left. And
that's a pretty interesting way of doing it. If they did that in the NFL, people would revolt.
Oh my God,
and people would go crazy.
I mean, think about it. If you go back a few years,
they're the Super Bowl champs.
You go back a few years, the one that sticks out of my mind is Broncos beating the Panthers. By that rationale, Panthers would have been the crown champion.
Yeah, they were 15-1. That's right.
And then the way they do it is you take those top four teams. Whoever finishes in the top four, they go into the Champions League. Whoever is in the bottom three gets relegated.
Wow, this sounds more complicated than I thought.
So, like, if you look at it in the NFL terms, right? Who were the bottom three teams this year? Were they what? Cardinals Niners,
Niners,
and Raiders.
What? Raiders, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that?
I'll have to look it up.
So if you look at it this way, and I'm going to use the AAF as the second tier football league, those three teams would have been relegated to the AAF. The top three teams in the AAF would get promoted to the NFL.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Boy, that's complicated.
But that would be kind of fun though, right?
Yeah, that is true. That is very true. So listen,
I don't know who's leading the AAF right now. I'm just going to say Orlando, right? All of a sudden, Orlando becomes an NFL team.
Right. All right, 800-777-2907. So again, NCAA tournament, most fun? Well, yes. Crowning champions? Not really. All right, 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, don't take a chance of being stranded. Stop by Arelli Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It is free of charge, one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. Arelli Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Mike Trout, getting a lot richer. $430 million, 12 years. No opt-out on the deal, meaning he'll be an Angel for pretty much ever. And now the Angels have the enviable task of putting a team around him to make the postseason, because that is what everyone is going to criticize the Angels for. You've now got the best player, one of the best players who've ever lived, by the way, and you better make more than just one playoff appearance where you got swept. The Angels have to make the postseason. The Angels have to put a team around Mike Trout. This is one of the problems people have. We had this conversation before about, look, Mike Trout is not just the best player in the game. Mike Trout is going to go down as one of the best baseball players of all time, if not the best of all time. Here's the problem. How many games of Mike Trout have you seen? How many games have you watched? Not very many. One, he's not in the playoffs, where you would watch him. Two, baseball is a very local sport, so you may see him if he comes to your local town and you watch him on your local television, if you do get to see him. But the second thing is that it's a lot of us don't stay up for nationally televised Angels games on the baseball, the national network. We're not watching them, right? So there is a good portion of the country that is, in terms of the West Coast, but there's also a very, very large portion of the country that don't see him on a nightly basis. And that is something Major League Baseball, I would be making sure I promote the hell out of Mike Trout. And listen, people want to see him play. They're paying good money to watch him play, because he brings that kind of excitement and that kind of entertainment. But the Angels have to do something here other than just provide Mike Trout's bat and glove and throwing arm and base running skills to the table. The Angels have to win. They have to use this centerpiece to put together a winning team. You just gave them $430 million. It's time to add a team that can be in contention for a World Series. There's no excuse for this, really. But, you know, the Albert Pujols deal strangles him a little bit and whatnot. But it's time to do that. That's the criticism of the Angels. But earlier I was talking about how if you get the numbers, if you're really doing the stat numbers, which can get even over my head, and I kind of pay attention a little bit to this, that even at 430 over 12, he is a bargain for the Angels based on how many wins he produces and what his real value is to the organization. But that's all great that somebody crunched the numbers on it. But in reality, what we judge players on is postseason and success and getting to the playoffs. Mickey Mantle is Mickey Mantle because the Yankees did win World Series, as well as putting up the numbers that he did. But it also came with some World Series championships. And I'm not saying you win as many as Mick, or you win five or six or seven. But you got to be in the presence of the public nationally. And the Angels have this player. Right? The Phillies have this player in Bryce Harper, but the Angels have this player in Mike Trout. They've got to make the playoffs. They should at least find a way to do it. I mean, it's funny how the A's make the postseason and the Angels don't have a team around Mike Trout to make the postseason. In tough division, I kind of understand. I get it, but there's no excuse for this. But man, oh man, we thought that Major League Baseball was not giving out the big deals, and then in one fell swoop, they gave out four huge ones. Right? Nolan Arenado, Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, and now this one. So maybe we were a little wrong about baseball. I don't know. But nevertheless, I think the numbers are staggering, I guess. But the reality of it is that we kind of pegged this and we kind of thought about this for a while of where this is going. As I was saying earlier, this is something that the players union had always predicted, that the salaries would go like this, not because they deserved it or they thought revenues were up. They knew owners were going to compete against themselves and they couldn't help themselves, right? If you're the Angels and all you're hearing is how Bryce Harper is recruiting Mike Trout to join the Phillies when he becomes a free agent, What number is it going to take to get you to lock him in for as an Angel for life? Are you going to quabble with 390? Are you going to quabble with 400? Are you going to quabble with 430, 410, 415? You've got Bryce Harper trying to put a super team together, openly talking about Mike Trout playing with the Phillies. You can't have that. Not in Los Angeles. Not when 3 million people are going through your gates. Not when you're getting $150 million a year in local television. You can't have Mike Trout leaving for the East Coast. You're not the A's. You're making a fortune. You pay Mike Trout to stay. So you sit down with his people and you go, wait, this is nonsense. This has got to stop. What is it going to take? We want him an Angel for life. All right. 470. How about 420? 440? 430? Deal. And you hammer it out. Because again, you're bringing in tremendous amounts of revenue. 3 million fans is not something to sneeze at. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people coming in per year. Coming in. I mean, even at $10 a ticket, that's $30 million. Right? And we know it's not $10 a ticket. So Mike Trout, the main reason that 3 million fans are coming to watch you play, and the main reason why you're getting $150 million a year in local revenue, is worth $12,430. Because again, he results in those kind of eyes, that kind of attention. We may not like the number because we may think it's ridiculous, but in the entertainment world, it's right up the alley. If you're an actor and you're in three blockbusters a year, you're making more than Mike Trout. It's Good, the Bad, the Dumb coming up next.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, bad, the dumb. Ron gives us both the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Wednesday. Go ahead with the good.
The good? What have I always tell you about Florida?
It's great. It's gold.
It is gold, and they're providing us some more gold, Tony. I'm so excited. I can't wait for this. Mark this on your calendar. July 26th, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, which is a Marlins AA team.
I love the Jumbo Shrimp. Yeah, great logo.
Will host Florida Man Night.
Oh, what's this?
They are promising to break an obscure Florida law every inning.
Okay, wait a minute. So there are like these like laws in the books that say you can't whip your horse on a Sunday.
Well, I got a few to share with you. They are very tight-lipped on their details of what they're going to do. So, I mean, some of the safer ones that, you know, it is illegal to sing in a public place while attired in a swimsuit. So that's probably a Florida law they'll break, right?
Okay.
Or men may not be seen publicly in any kind of strapless gown.
That's really on the books.
That's really on the books. Because, you know, when you see these laws, too, and every state has, I mean, they're called blue laws.
Oh, yeah.
Every state has these, and you have to think, like, why? I mean, why did you guys have to see fit to make a law? I remember one in California, it was like, it's illegal to peel an orange in a California hotel room. Why is that illegal?
That is, why would that be illegal?
But, you know, there are a few others that, you know, might be a little more risque. In Destin County, for example, torpedoes may not be set off in the city.
You can't set off a torpedo in the city of Destin?
Yes.
Well, that stinks.
I know, exactly, right? I mean, you know.
I bet there are plenty of torpedoes that have been just dying to be launched.
So, I mean, I don't know. They're very tight-lipped on what laws they're going to try to break each inning. But I love this promotion. And on top of all that, they will have a celeb in the building. You don't know if you remember him. His name is, I lost the guy's name. It's upsetting. But Lane Pittman. There it is.
Okay.
I had it on my nose because it's a weird name. Lane Pittman. Do you remember Lane Pittman?
No.
He will be in attendance. He is that shirtless man who was... standing barefoot holding the American flag during Hurricane Matthew.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, okay. I remember
so
him.
He will
yeah,
be
that's
in
right.
attendance.
I do remember that. Oh, very
he
good.
Will be there in attendance. I'm assuming in the same attire, I hope. You know, maybe recreating that that famous image of him, you know,
holding the flag, right? Taking
Hurricane Matthew on head yeah. on. I'm sure like there was no alcohol involved.
I like that law about men can't wear a strapless gown.
Yes.
That's wild. Can you imagine some guy going, okay, honey, I know you love living in Appalachia County, but I think it's time we move.
Here's
why?
Another one. Here's well, another one for you, Tony. And I don't know why this needed to be made a law, but in Daytona Beach, the molestation of trash cans is banned.
Why would you molest a trash can? One would ask.
Exactly.
That leads to the question, why would you molest a trash can?
Maybe that's what, you know, some of the things the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp will attempt to do during
good
their...
Good for them.
And, you know, makes the question, will cops be ready to arrest people since they are breaking the law?
That would be true. That would be true. Let's see if they actually do that. I don't think it beats the Montgomery Biscuits Millennial Night, but I think this is a very, very good promotion for minor league baseball.
Yeah, well,
good for them. When is that date again?
July 26th. So we will definitely revisit this as we get closer.
Yes, very much so.
And find out what laws they do intend to break.
That is indeed a good. So good for you, Jumbo Shrimp. All right, what is the bad?
The bad of the day, and it's an audio bad just for you, Tony. But the Stephen A. had yet another snafu.
Oh, I can't wait for this one.
All right, here it is.
Jeff Passan, having said all of that, we look at other individuals. A Mike Socha, for example, entering his 19th season as the manager for this ball club. Does a contract like Mike Trout apply more pressure to somebody like him to turn things around, or else Marina's going to move in a different direction?
Well, Socha is gone, actually. Brad
yes,
Ausmus is the manager.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that, because Mike Socha was one of my favorite guys.
Okay,
Hold on. I don't like speaking for people, but I feel like I got to do this here. I don't think Stephen A. forgot that Mike Socha was not there anymore. I don't think he ever knew that
exactly.
Brad Ausmus was the head.
This is
was the manager
I'm
of the
not,
Angels.
I'm not putting this on Stephen A. Okay,
I'm not either.
This is his producers not doing their job to help promote their talent.
I would absolutely agree with that. But also, too, there is assumptions that we make in sports, and I've done it, too, where you sort of – you can legitimately forget, right? You think a certain player is still there and he's not. The one – but I here – I don't think he ever knew. Like, I don't think he knew. Like, he says Mike Socha is one of his favorite people. If that's the case, he would have known that Mike Socha wasn't there anymore. I did this once with Maryland. I did this a few years ago. I was talking about the ACC, and I brought up Maryland. And the guy said, oh, no, well, they're in the Big Ten now. And I was like, oh, okay, sorry, my bad. Whoops. there's nothing you could do. But these are one too many gaffes for Stephen A.
Yeah, they seem to be happening a lot more often. I don't know if he is just bogged down with other things right now.
He needs to slow down, and he needs, I don't know, like to. I do this a lot where I double check things just to make sure, right? I'll if I'm talking about a team I'm not as familiar with as others, I'll double check some stuff just to make sure. But he really, like, this is like 4 or 5 in like a three-month period. The football stuff with the Chiefs, right? I mean, this is, I almost feel bad for him. Almost. I said almost.
Yeah, but I'm putting this a lot on the guys around him because the guy's very busy. He's, you know.
He's doing 100 things.
Yeah,
right?
He's doing 100 million things all at the same time. They got to take better care of him, unless he just went off the cuff and just started going after him. They didn't know he was going that route.
What was that one he did where he was ranking quarterbacks and he forgot? Like,
no, it was
Aaron Rodgers or something like that, or Drew Brees.
You know, he forgot to put Drew Brees in his top five quarterbacks who were. It was all the quarterbacks who were in the playoffs.
That's right, and forgot Drew Brees.
He forgot about ranking Drew Brees.
Right,
and then the other one was him. I can't remember who it was. I know it was Hunter Henry, and I can't remember who.
Yeah, the Chiefs, right? Because he was talking about Spencer Ware and Hunter Henry.
Yes.
all of that, and they weren't there anymore.
Neither one of them were on the
team. That was the biggest one, but I think it was the one with but you're right. I mean, there are people that are their job is to protect him from this kind of thing. Like it's not it would not be out of the norm on that level to have people, hey, here's a couple of questions for you to ask. Here's the guest. You may not be familiar with the Angels, but we did some research for you. Here you go. And go from there. And
unless he went off the cuff and decided to ask that question thinking Socha was the manager. Because, I mean, Socha retiring last, I don't know if it was even last season or two seasons ago, it was very quiet.
Well, it was very quiet. You're right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people totally forgot that he was not there anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't think he forgot. I don't think he even knew.
All right. The dumb of the day. I sent you an email. Please open it.
All right.
Because Gucci has a new shoe.
Oh, I want to see this.
Look
at that.
It is purposely dirty and distressed.
Why are we doing this, by the way?
It goes for the low, low price of $870.
They're doing this with more and more clothing, where the popular clothing is to make it look awful. Like, it's to make it look dirty and ragged.
Yes.
And that's supposed to be on purpose. And that's
stupid.
That is stupid. You can get this stuff dirty on your own.
Yeah, just wear it for a week.
$870
for a shoe that looks like you need to clean constantly.
And this is popular. Like, people want to buy this certain shoe. This is dumb. This is so dumb. This doesn't even look good. It's not even a good looking shoe. It's got the Gucci G on it, but it's not even a good looking shoe. $870
for. I mean, you know what? What's the process of making that too? Are they pre-worn?
Yeah, I've got to think so, right? I mean, how do you do that?
I mean, I know that, you know, it's probably dye in the fabric and stuff like that, but I mean, so are they all the same then?
Marcus that's selling this?
Well, just Gucci. That was the first one I brought up. There's several. I mean, I found one. I think you can get it a little bit cheaper than $870.
Yeah, you're right. This does look worn out.
There's
worn
one.
Shoe.
Let's see. Oh, right. Through Gucci, it looks like you can get one for $790.
But what is the appeal? Like, what? When people, like, they were selling jeans that had dirt stains on them.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
They put in dirt stains on them. They're not real dirt, but it looks like dirt. It looks, why would you do that? Just go get dirt on your jeans.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, and I get the, you know, it became a fad, and I think we all just kind of accepted now jeans with already that have holes in them.
Yes.
You know. And I think when that first came out, we probably said the same thing. Like, why? You know, you can get that just over time. But now you kind of look at it as like, all right, well, I can see the designer aspect of it. I don't think I can ever get behind shoes that are already pre-dirt, pre-distressed.
No.
I mean, what's the next step? We're just going to have, you know, shoelaces ripped, you know, the little plastic things already missing.
This is an example of like that cliche where you say, how do you make how do you make $50,000 a speech? You charge $50,000 a speech. This is the same thing here. How do you charge $870 for a shoe? You just do it and people buy it.
Yep.
Like, there are people with so much money. They walk into these stores and go, yeah, give me that. That looks nice. I like that. Or that's new. That's trendy. That would make an interesting conversation piece to my friends. Yeah, I'll buy that. $870 is nothing.
It's all fashion.
It's all fashion. The fashion industry is strange. But yeah, you're right. That is dumb. That is absolutely dumb.
Could never spend that money on that shoe.
No, not at all. Absolutely not. All right, the good, bad, and the dumb for a Wednesday. It's SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Fersen with Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. Got a tip today for allergy sufferers. The filters on your car or truck play a big role in the life of your engine and your comfort. We know about the air filter, but there's another filter that's really important this time of year, and it's your cabin filter. Spring has sprung, and that means that everything is blooming. Here in Texas, the pine trees cover our cars with a yellow pollen that drives allergy sufferers crazy. Add in the high levels of mold and ragweed that the weather guy warns you about, and if you don't have allergies, you will soon. You're driving with it blowing in your face. A few years ago, automakers realized the problem and added a filter to your AC system that works the same as the one on your home AC. The cabin filter cleans the air before it gets to you, and it really works. But it'll only help if you change it at least once a year. And this is the time to do it. And it's easy to do. This is Mike Hersey from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our great friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
Each spring, we lose an hour of sleep in the name of daylight savings time. But who needs rest when you've got a new Jeep SUV? Come in to the Jeep Freedom Days sales event now for great deals that more than make up for 60 minutes of not snoozing. Go anywhere, anytime in the legendary Jeep Wrangler, Motor Trend's 2019 SUV of the year. Travel in luxurious comfort with Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Take in more fresh air in Jeep Compass with its available panoramic dual-pane sunroof. And push your adventures to new lengths with Jeep Cherokee's 31 mpg highway. So hurry in for great deals at the Jeep Freedom Days sales event, or you'll miss out on more than just an hour of rest. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
To SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So have you filled out your bracket yet? I said I have not. Have you? Have you done your?
I don't know who all the teams are yet.
Yeah, I'm still
waiting for the know what 64 teams are there.
Do you have any fun upset specials? Because I haven't yet to figure out mine yet.
Well,
I'm trying to pick one. Just one.
Yeah.
One.
Well, I know I'm going to go with. I know I'm going to go with Murray State.
I'm going to take Murray State too. I'm going to take Murray State too, and watch Marquette win by 15.
Yeah, I mean, but taking Murray State, it's not fun.
No, that's true. Everyone's taking Murray State. You want to make a big splash, like take somebody else. Like,
maybe UC Irvine.
Take UC Irvine. Isn't there a team? Don't we have a team in this tournament that we can rally around and have fun with because they're unique and their name is weird and we've never heard of them before? I need that. I need that one team that's in the tournament that's like, wow, oh my God, do we even know that this is a school? How is this a school?
What about Bradley?
Bradley, yeah, that's good. The Braves.
Yeah.
I think they beat Kansas one year.
I mean, they're going up against Tom Izzo.
That's right.
That could be kind of tough.
That could be tough. You know what's funny is every year there's always that one person that goes, this should be the top 64 teams in college basketball, not these stupid conference tournament winners. Nah, that's the joy. You sprinkle in a bunch of this kind of stuff, like the America East champion Vermont, the Catamounts. I mean, when are you going to watch Vermont basketball?
You don't.
You're not. Until you see them playing this thing where you have like Spiro Ditas going, oh my God, the Vermont Catamounts. Until you get that, that's all you need. I don't know why I just mentioned Spiro Ditas as one of the announcers. There's a whole bunch of announcers at college basketball.
I mean, I know we did.
Spectrum.
We talked a little bit on this yesterday, but I think I might go Golden Gopher.
Minnesota?
Over Cardinal.
I like that.
You know, Patino getting avenging his father's death.
Yeah, right? Exactly. What about Colgate? The Raiders playing out of the Patriot League.
I'll use it to brush my teeth.
Can't name two teams in the Patriot League, but now I know Colgate is one of them. And right, I use it to brush my teeth. Good luck to the Raiders, Colgate.